Let God revive in 95. There are some things in the Christian life that many people find to be difficult. If I ask you, what would you say would be the most difficult thing a Christian is required to do? Some would say pray. Some would say witnessing. I have a very hard time witnessing to people. Don't really know how to start, what to say. And so that is a difficult thing, and that's why so few people even attempt to witness to somebody. Others will say that they find understanding certain portions of Scripture to be a difficult thing, and I would agree with that, especially prophecy. And then there are those who say, I have a harder time memorizing Scripture than memorizing anything else. I have a hard time memorizing anything, period. But they say this is a difficult thing to remember the verse and where it's found in the Bible. Others say one of the most difficult things that they know is to discover the will of God on a specific issue. And there would be other things that you could say this morning that you find to be difficult in the Christian life. But let me tell you what I think is the most difficult thing, bordering on the realm of impossibility, that a Christian is asked to do. What is that? Just simply this: to be revived. To be revived. How many people come down to the altar on a Sunday morning or Sunday night and rededicate their life, and the rededication does not last 24 hours? I've had some come down on a Sunday morning, they can't even find it back on Sunday night. They'll come down to the altar on a Sunday morning, they're going to rededicate their life to the Lord, and by Sunday night, the same day, it's done fizzled. And they have already proven that this is undoubtedly the most difficult resolution that anyone can make. And I say of a Christian, it is a very difficult thing to pull out of a spiritual backslide. Your way back to where you are supposed to be. To rekindle the flame that once burned so intensely. To regain the momentum of your beginning. And to revive after falling away. To be revived after losing your zeal. Get your enthusiasm back. Get your joy back. Folks, that's the hardest thing for you to do that I know of in Scripture. It's hard to be revived after you lose your enthusiasm. Once church becomes dull, it's hard for church to ever again get exciting. It's hard for the prayer to get interesting if you lose interest in it. There's a hymn that we sing in our church sometimes, that in that hymn we find these words, we are prone to wonder. And that is true, but when we wander away, we are not prone to wander back. It's easier to go away than it is to come back. And spiritual decline is something that starts out slowly. It does not start out with a big jump backwards. First of all, there is an apparent loss in the interest in the Word of God. Not really concerned too much anymore what God has to say on a subject. And then there is the loss in the interest of prayer, ensuring that God be involved in my life daily. We just lose interest in prayer. And then there are those who lose interest in worship, and private and public. No longer seek to glorify God. Bow before Him. And so as a result of that, we slide back and we begin to do what? We neglect the Bible, we neglect prayer, and we neglect worship, private and public. Not only that, but we find ourselves less afraid of sin. We find ourselves more willing to compromise than once we were. We no longer seek to resist temptation as intensely as once we did. No longer do God's warnings bother us like they once did. Even now, when some of God's commandments are mentioned to us, we almost put our fingers in our ears. We find ourselves more occupied in worldly things that deny God time we promised Him. We're more concerned about our pleasures and His pleasures. All these things are indication of a cooling of a heart. Nor are we concerned if we have become a burden to the Lord, a grief to the Holy Spirit. And so there are various levels of spiritual decline that you can fall into, but no matter what level you fall into, it's very difficult to get out of. Of course, there are feelings of guilt, feelings of shame, feelings of embarrassment, but these feelings are not sufficient to revive the cooling heart, to restore the affection that once we professed for Jesus Christ. In the Revelation letters that Christ writes to seven churches, two of them he says to the Ephesian church, you've left your first love. You've left it. You've left it. And then he said to the Laodicean church, you have become lukewarm. To both churches he said, repent. Be revived. And as far as we know from the historical records, neither the Ephesian congregation or the Laodicean congregation revived. They disappeared, as far as we know. It's hard to recover from a decline. Now, a lost man needs a new heart. All of us would agree on that. And where does he get the new heart? He gets it from God. God only can give a man a new heart. Let me go a step further and say a saved man needs a revived heart. And only God can give that also. In Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the High and Holy One that inhabits eternity and whose name is holy, I dwell in the high place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. In other words, I dwell now to revive. I dwell to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And then you find in Psalms 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You see, we can't revive ourselves. Just saying I'm going to have a new resolution for the Christian year won't work. It's a good start. Let God revive in 95 is a good idea, but just saying that's not going to make it work. But it does imply if you are to be revived, God must do it. And I would agree with that. That's what makes revival so difficult. It's something only God can do in your life. Only God can fan the fire once again to revive our spirit and revive our soul. You say, well, then why doesn't God go ahead and revive me? Why does he not go ahead and rekindle the flame in my heart, take away the coldness of my heart? Because the first step back is up to you and me. You have to get near the fire to get warm. And so there is an obligation that we have to fulfill. I think pointed out in Daniel 9:3. And he said, I set my face. Well, that's your part, you see. You have to come to him and say, Lord, I do want to be revived. Takes more than that now. But anyway, that's required. I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I set my face to come back to the Lord. And then you find also in Isaiah 64:7, and there is none, God's complaint to us, there is none that calls upon thy name, that stirs up himself to take hold of thee. It's our job to stir up ourselves to take hold of God, to revive us. Not to get a blessing, but to revive. Of course, I guess that would be the greatest blessing of all, to be revived, because if we don't get revived, that's going to cost us so many blessings. I want to give us an idea into what is needed for a revival to take place and for revival fire to fall and for revival to really last in your life. I want to use the story of Elijah as he challenged the prophets of Baal in a contest, so to speak, to see who was the true God, Jehovah or Baal. And the challenge was that the worshippers of Baal would prepare a cow for sacrifice, laying it on their altar, and they would be given an opportunity to pray and call down fire by their God upon the sacrifice on their altar. And he too said, I will do the same thing, and whichever God sends down the fire is the true God. Now, that was the contest. And so the Baal worshippers went first. And they placed the cow upon the altar. And they prayed and they cried and they shouted and they jumped around. And hours went by and nothing happened. No fire fell. Nothing fell. But their confidence in their God. Then Elijah said, it's my turn. And so he also had the animal on the altar, had his people pour water over the sacrifice 3 different times. And then the Bible says he prayed. fire came down and burnt the sacrifice and lapped up the water. And the people said, God, Jehovah, is the true God. And you know the story. I'll not go through the Bible. It's found in 1 Kings 18, verses 20 to 30. I'll not take time to read all those verses to you. I have given you a summary of the story of all those verses. I advise you to read it. But the thing that Elijah did that I believe brought down the fire from God, not that he prayed, but in verse 30 it says, and Elijah said to the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And then this is the thing that Elijah did that I think is the key to revival. And Elijah repaired the altar. Elijah rebuilt the altar of the Lord that had been broken down. The people were now worshiping at the altar of Baal. At the same time, the altar of God had been partially destroyed, had been broken down. And before Elijah does anything, he rebuilds the altar. Now, before God will bring fire from heaven and give us a revival in our heart, you're going to have to rebuild your torn down altar. It is this aspect of repentance that very few Christians seem to understand or maybe have never heard of. The altar that Elijah rebuilt is symbolic of the two altars that you found in the tabernacle and later on in the temple. At the entrance of the tabernacle was the altar of burnt offering. Then on the inside of the holy place, there was the altar of incense. Two altars. Whenever a man built an altar to God outside the tabernacle, it always symbolized those two aspects of the altar. You and I should be familiar with both altars, all right? Many join a church where you will call down to an altar rail. Now, some churches don't have an altar rail, and some do. But the idea, again, is the same. When you consider the salvation, you actually placed your old life on the altar. That's what you're supposed to have done. Now, when we come to God for revival, the altar needs to be rebuilt. There are two altars that need to be rebuilt. And for Elijah, they were both incorporated into one altar. But for us to understand this, I want to divide them into two significant aspects of the altar. First of all, you need to rebuild the altar of consecration, or some would call it the altar of dedication or the altar of self-sacrifice. There was something placed on the altar. What was it? It was your old self. And God says, if I'm to revive you, the problem is that you have taken yourself off the altar that you gave me when you got saved. You've broken your promise. You gave me your time. You gave me your energy. You gave me your talents. You gave me your life. You gave me your heart. You gave me everything was mine. And it was placed on the altar. You were. But you've taken yourself off the altar. And that's where you and I begin to have spiritual decline. We get off the altar. Take back our consecration. Take back our dedication. Take back our self-sacrifice. No longer do we deny ourselves as much as we once did. And so now you see, we have gone back on what we ought to have been done, what we ought to be doing, what we promised we would do. So we need to come back and restore to God what was on the altar. Restore our commitment. Rededicate ourselves. Come back to that spot where you came when you first got saved. Renew your vow for Him to possess you. And promise once again that your life will be placed on the altar. Now, folks, fire won't fall until we get a sacrifice on the altar. Huh? A lot of folks repent and put nothing on the altar. I repent. Well, then get on the altar. Oh, no. Look at that. Folks, you and I have to sacrifice our plans, sacrifice our life. God has plans to come along that's going to interfere with you and what you plan to do. What are you going to do then? Well, if you don't give in to God's plans, then you're going to decline. Because you see, your promise was when you got on the altar, God would come first. And so God can't send fire upon the altar to revive something if there's nothing on the altar. So we need to rebuild the altar of dedication and put ourselves back on the altar. And you in revival, you come to him and you say, I, and we call it rededication. But a lot of folks don't understand it. You get back on the altar and you are going to be sacrificed there. I mean, your plans and your visions and your hopes and whatever it is that just you and you alone want, that leaves God out, that interferes with what God wants, that's got to be sacrificed mentally once again for revival to take place. Come back to your first love, he said to the Ephesians. That's what he's talking about. Get yourselves back on the altar where you belong. As long, folks, as you are on the altar, the fire can fall. Huh? Do you follow me? When there's something on the altar, no fire fell until something got on the altar. And no fire fell until the altar was rebuilt. No halfway measures. This is a full dedication that the Lord asked of us. And so we need to rebuild the altar of consecration and put old self back on it. And you tell God. To get revived, you tell God, not just, I'm sorry and I repent, but you rebuild the altar. You say, I'm going to rebuild this altar of dedication. I'm going to rebuild this altar of consecration. I'm going to rebuild it, and God, I'm getting back on it. I'm placing myself back on the altar of sacrifice. Now, folks, then the fire can fall. Then the fire can fall. As long as you and I stay on the altar, the fire can fall, and there will be revival. But not until. Not until. And you also need to rebuild what in the tabernacle was called the altar of incense. This is where the priest would go to pray. We need to rebuild the altar of prayer. The altar of worship. The altar of fellowship. It was at this altar that a man communicated with God. It was at this altar that man gained the wisdom and knowledge of God. It was at this altar that man gained the blessings of God. It was at this altar that God gave man health. It was at this altar that man was given the ability to overcome evil and resist temptation. It was at this altar. And we need to rebuild the altar of prayer, the altar of worship, the altar of fellowship. We're in a real sense, put old self on the altar of burnt offering and keep him there, and the new self is to live continually in the presence of the altar of incense, the altar of worship, the altar of God. Stay ourselves present with him. Walk close to him. That's the altar of fellowship. We must not be allowed to drift away from this altar, for then you drift away from the shepherd. And so when you rebuild the altar of incense, when you rebuild the prayer altar, when you rebuild the worship altar, then you restore fellowship between you and the Lord. He has your attention. He has your ear. You're right there with him. You're attentive to him. Now you're going to listen to him. And it's here he can fan the fires of enthusiasm and fan the fires of joy, because now you have been drawn into his presence by your own commitment. And now the fire can fall into your heart and bring you joy. Do you understand why revival is so hard? We don't put anything on the altar, and we don't draw near to God with the intention of staying there. And so we have to bring our heart. We bring the old man to the altar of the brazen altar, and we bring our new heart to the altar of incense. The old man is to be crucified, and the new man is brought into the presence and kept there by our commitment. And then you see God can rebuild the altar. I mean, rebuild our life. There God can find the opportunity to blow up on the old cool embers and revive our heart, revive our emotions, and revive our will if we'll rebuild these two altars. The altar of commitment, dedication, of sacrifice, and the altar of prayer and worship. Thus, this is the way God brings about a revival. All it is just doing again what you did originally to become a Christian. What it took to get you saved takes to get you revived. Same thing. If you understand salvation, then you ought to understand what's necessary for revival. Very same thing has to be done. A giving of ourselves and a new walk with Christ. Then from the revival fire comes renewed enthusiasm from the Lord. Renewed joy from the Lord. Renewed faith from the Lord. And a renewed walk from the Lord. Renewed power from the Lord. Renewed devotion from the Lord. The fire will fall if we're on the altar. The fire will fall if we draw near to Him. And so I say once again, let God revive in 95. We need, I believe, a continual revival. It almost goes on daily. So easy as it is to let the altar crumble, to slip back a little bit. And when that happens, you rebuild the altar. You come back to that consecration. You come back to that fellowship. And no better time to begin a revival than now, today, right this minute. So let God revive in 1995. At this altar, something will be sacrificed. At this altar, you meet God. And when those two things are put together, a sacrifice and you meet God, there will be fire fall. Heart will be warm. Change will take place in your life. So I encourage you, along with the members of my church, to let God revive in 95. It's not easy, but God can do it. And you need for the fire to thaw. You need the warm heart once again. You need the blessings that God wants to give you at the altar once again. All of God's blessings, folks, come at the altar. All of them do. They all come from the altar. As you sacrifice and as you draw near to Him, at either the altar of sacrifice, the altar of prayer, that's where the blessings come. That's where they're given out.